Thanks for joining us for our look at the wineries and history of the Spring Mountain Appellation. Today we come down from the mountain to talk with James Leahy, the proprietor of Marston Family Vineyards. James, thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Thanks for having us.
Let's begin by having you tell us where Marston is. It sits high atop Spring Mountain, but you don't get there the traditional way by going up Spring Mountain Road. Tell us a little bit about where the winery is and how you get there.
Absolutely right. So back in the late 60s, early 70s, when the Appellation was starting to, you know, just become founded and do the research to understand that Spring Mountain was unique and different, my father-in-law came up and partnered with Fritz Maytag. And I think it's always the running, joke, if not the lore of history, that if you're going to kind of describe the Appalachian boundaries, it often helps to be the one defining them. So Marston is at the southern tip of Spring Mountain, and we did see a series of similar clay Aiken series soil types that really did kind of bridge the upper part of Spring Mountain Road with Spring Mountain. We are bordered by a number of creeks and water sources that really kind of contribute to the overarching theme of the Spring Mountain District. But yes, we are accessed off White Sulphur Springs Road and kind of share a canyon with Kane above us and Newton as well across the canyon. So we have a nice little pocket there of our three little wineries. And then over the next ridge, you start to get into a lot of the York Creek and other vineyards there off Spring Mountain Road.
And what, if any, impact does that unique location have on the soil, on the wine, on what goes into the Marston bottle?
Yeah, we believe, and I think our neighbors would agree, we believe that, you know, our hillside location brings a lot of different dynamics from growing conditions to weather patterns. Obviously, cooler afternoons in the heat of the day during, June, July, August, as well as warmer nights that helps kind of our ripening schedule soften the skins. Obviously we wrestle with fairly consistent tannins up on the hill. And I think that, our growing conditions and location contribute to that. But there is a series of dynamics that are very unique to Spring Mountain that is very interesting and promotes kind of the longevity, ageability of these wines, as well as a lot of complexity that comes through, particularly on the reds.
Tell us a little bit about how Marston got started. Give us a little sense of its history.
Yeah, so it's a great storied history, as the whole Appalachian can attest. The early timers followed the water, and so that's always going to been promoting agriculture up in the western hills of St. Helena going back to the late 1800s. We're the third owners of record. My in-laws came up in the late 60s, originally as one of five partners that kind of formed in 1969, led by Dick Lynn. And that partnership ultimately disbanded over time. And in 1976, Michael and Sandy Marston purchased the vineyard outright, and it then became Marston Family Vineyard. We've always been predominantly growers. Ultimately, we had 11 varietals planted following Prohibition, along with walnuts, apricots, a lot of the other livable sustenance that really helped those of us in kind of these remote locations just kind of create a working ranch. Mm-hmm. And it's just been a great slice of old Napa, as I think much of Spring Mountain can attest to. But again, I think my father-in-law, Michael, says it best that he'd rather be lucky than smart. And when they came up, they had an idea of grape growing, but didn't know ultimately, what that really meant. So they really got to learn with boots on the ground, some of the original tons going down to Robert Mondavi with the Cabernet Sauvignon in the late 60s, early 70s. And then over time, we've sold to Heights, Joe Phelps, Joe Berg Riesling, Mount Veeder took a lot of the Petite Syrah, Sean Thackeray, probably best known for making our Petite Syrahs in the late 80s. And it's just been a really nice, gentleman farmer concept that we've embraced over the years. And then we only started making small lots of wine in the early 80s. As lore would have it, a fellow neighbor on the hill, as he was making wine for Cuvée Sun and some other, esteemed wineries in the valley, Philip Tonyi would share, the way I heard it, that he would trade services for winemaking for use of the tractor. And that's how it was done in the early days. So we made small lots of wine starting in 82 through 87. And some of those lots were also blended with the help of Andrei Telichev in the mid-80s, particularly on the reds. But again, that's what kind of helped us lay the foundation for what would become Marston Family Vineyard. And the label as it is today began in 1998 after a fairly significant replant in the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm. And are you making wine there now?
We're making wine in town. You know, time passed us by. The last vintage fermented, crushed officially up at the ranch was in 87. We still do small lots, you know, barrel here and there to maintain our permit and activity there. But for the most part, we're down, you know, with new technology, new presses, all the fun bells and whistles. We now have technology on our side. And one day, maybe back on the property. But for now, we're in town at Custom
Crush. And what was the decision to not continue doing it and expand doing it on the property?
At the time, it was really focused on replant. Again, we're gentlemen farmers first. We think of ourselves as growers as well as vintners, but definitely growers first. We've had an amazing relationship with many growers. Right now, we have a terrific relationship with Treasury Wine Estate. We're one of the five vineyards that goes into the Behringer Private Reserve. They also do a Marston Designate, and that was a labor of love that started in the late 80s with the old guard. You know, Ed Sabraja coming up and you know, seeing some of the fruit and crafting these amazing wines. Laurie Hook carrying that tradition on, and now, you know, Mark Behringer carrying on that legacy as well. It's been a fun chapter for the Marston family, as well as seeing that come on with a larger entity, but, you know, is treated more like a smaller, you know, boutique. Mm-hmm.
And share a little bit about your personal story, your personal history with the family and with the vineyard.
I took the easy path, you know. I married the daughter, so that was my path into into the family. My first harvest was 2005, and instantly, you know, getting to come up and see the magic in the vineyard, the magic in the cellar, that's what grabbed me. And I really, truly enjoy being mostly in the vineyard, as well as working with Marbu Mark as our winemaker today. He's been with us since 2010, and I really love that side of the business. Every year is unique, every growing season different. The challenges is what we really focus on. You know, we've had the gift of what I think the general public would call terrific vintages from 2012 to present. Granted, the 17 fires added a little hiccup, but from growing conditions, you know, I think many would classify those as absolutely brilliant. Whereas we see it as each year had different complexities. You know, the droughts 14 and 15, what that did, the heat of 16 creating more of a cooler kind of condition to what we express in the grape, as opposed to it being such a warm season. So it's been fun to see all those nuances come into play, and it really reminds us that Mother Nature really is, you know, the authentic winemaker, mm-hmm. and we're just along for the ride, trying not to screw it up.
And how many acres do you have planted, and what's planted there now?
There's just about 40 acres under vine. When we went through the big replant in 93 through 95, we went from 11 varietals to 3. Predominantly Cabernet Sauvignon. We had little pockets of Syrah and a little pockets of Merlot as well. Over time, we saw the areas they were planted, as well as the soil composition, you know, kind of favored Cabernet. So in 2006 and 7, we grafted over. And so the vineyard is now entirely 100% Cabernet Sauvignon. We have about 3 or 4 clones. He kind of goes and adds a little expression, a little bit of that, you know, spice from the cupboard to create some dynamic differences. But yeah, 100% Cabernet.
And do you have visitors up there? Are you open for visitors at all?
We don't. You know, we're, you know, again, we've have our permits. We have welcomed some collectors over time, but we really don't do too much on hospitality. It's kind of a gift and a curse that, you know, we only produce about 500 cases of Marston at the estate. For us, the whole vineyard could do about 5,000 cases. And with that, we've just got an incredible, you know, consumer base as well as distribution network. And, you know, we're unfortunately not really able to fully embrace what I think is, you know, some of the more exciting elements in the Napa Valley today from a experience standpoint. But however, you know, one day hopefully we'll bring that back and get to welcome more people to the estate, because it's something that really needs to be shared.
Since visitors can't go up there, give us a little picture of what the experience is like of coming to visit Marston Vineyards.
Yeah, it's, you know, 40 acres of vine with every orientation imaginable. We range in elevation at the lower vineyard from about 800 feet to roughly about 1150. And again, that's not just one vertical slope. There's every orientation imaginable. A ton of hillside. We have a lot of terraced hillsides for the grapes. We double plant to try to get the most efficiency out of those. So we'll have it on the inner row as well as the outer bench. And what's great about that too, and I think you see this coming through in the wine in a big way, is not only is it 40 acres of vineyard, but it's surrounded by this natural wilderness that I think much of Spring Mountain embraces. The whole ranch originally was about 550 acres. Some of that has been, you know, I think about 200, 250 acres or so has been donated to the land trust. Will be preserved forever wild. And the intent is for that to remain for future generations so that they get to experience, you know, what not only we as a family have enjoyed the prior owners and stewards before us, but again, maintain that slice of old Napa. So, I mean, just to give you that perspective of rolling hills surrounded by, you know, forest and wilderness is really kind of a magical setting, particularly when you throw in the elevation and, you know, some of the fog that we get. We are above the fog line. Much of Spring Mountain is above the fog line. We Marston as well. And oftentimes we'll be coming in and our vista as we come down the hill into St. Helena is really kind of this south-southeast. And so we'll just look into town. It'll be blanketed with this beautiful cloud cover. And it's just magical.
And what do future plans for Marston look like at this point?
Future plans are, you know, really up in the air. So my wife and I, my wife took over as the kind of managing partner in 2008. And with that, we introduced a white wine in 2009. We call that our Albion, and that's our proprietary white. It's a Sauvignon Blanc-based wine that we sourced from some dear friends down in Yountville. Incredible site down there next to the Napa River. We've been doing that since 2009, and we've been slowly ramping that project up to scale. You know, here in 2018, it's a fairly abundant vintage. In the cellar, we've kind of gone through the early tastes and really like where things land. But typically, we've been about 300 cases or so, and now we're going to be about 580 in 2018. So with that, you know, we're looking at really ramping that up and having that be a signature of Marston as well. And in 2012, we also revisited Petite Sirah, which has always been near and dear to our heart. Again, these old 100-year-old vine plantings that were unfortunately removed in 1992 after the 92 vintage. Sean Thackeray was making these beautiful expressions under his Sirius label. And it took us 20 years to find a vineyard, you know, that we thought was capable of reflecting, you know, the vision and the philosophy of Marston. The first 2 years in 12 and 13, we produced those under our Elizabeth John label. And then in 2014, after we understood the grape again, we do believe that 3 years or so is where you start to really understand a varietal. And so 2014, we felt comfortable with our expression that we declared of Marston. So we're real excited to be revisiting Petite Sirah again. That's not quite to scale yet. We're still at about 120, 150 cases on any given vintage. And so that'll be fun to, you know, kind of scale that up. But right now we just have the three pillars. And it wasn't intentional as much as it just kind of fit our philosophy and profile that they're all varietal specific right now. We always thought maybe there'd be a little blending component, but we've really enjoyed through barrel, through other, you know, kind of tricks in the cellar, how we can kind of express different blocks, different sections, different profiles. They're all varietal specific and 100% either Cabernet, either Sauvignon Blanc, or either Petite Sirah right now.
And what have you come to appreciate the most about the wine business?
Patience. Time. Requires a lot of patience. If you are, you know, coming from a different industry to where things get done immediately and in a timely manner, the wine industry might not be for you. To put it into perspective, you know, as we start to discuss something like a Petite Sirah, which started in 2009, and you know, we'd been looking casually for many years. But again, it takes years to go and identify the site. And then when you identify the site, if you haven't worked for the varietal, it'll take a season or two. And I think everybody forgets that you only get one shot every year, each vintage, to make the right call on picking, to make the right call on barrel, to make sure the fermentation plan is lined up with the vintage and the expression. So patience and time is what I've learned the most.
James Leahy, Marston Family Vineyards, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you so much for having us.